In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Living here in Canberra, we're probably more than most people cognizant of the way in which those who possess power and status are greeted. We're used to seeing different national flags flying at the end of King's Avenue Bridge in honor of the arrival of a foreign head of government. And many of us would have at one time or another have had the experience of being delayed as we traveled by car from one place to another because we were stopped by traffic police clearing the way for a cavalcade of his cars on its way to Government House or elsewhere. We're quite aware that everything must be just right for those who are VIPs, whether or not they wish such respect to be paid. Because we live in a world in which it is assumed that honor and respect are due to those who possess wealth or rank or both. It's the general expectation in our society that those who have more get more. And it's been that way for a very long time. Our reading this morning from Mark's Gospel points out for us the contrast between the values of the world and the values of God's kingdom. Jesus' criticism of the comfortable life of some of the scribes whom he encountered in Jerusalem as people whose chief concern seemed to be the honor paid to them by the hoi polloi is contrasted sharply with his commendation of the poor widow who in an act of faith offers all that she possesses to God. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's a certain amount of discomfort in checking out with whom we identify in this contrast. The thing we notice first in the description of the scribes is their concern with status. They love to walk up and down in long robes, robes which are clearly unsuitable for doing any real work. And they like to be greeted with respect in the street, which we might think is all okay. After all, these are the intellectuals, the learned people of the society. To be a scribe meant that you were a person of scholarship, someone who devoted himself to the study of God's law, and who, as his profession, taught the law to others. And of course, it was assumed that those who taught the law also lived by it. And if you were a person of status, it's important that you should be noticed and admired and even envied. So these scribes made sure that they had the best seats in the synagogues, the ones on the bench that faced the congregation, and also the places of honor and feasts. But the scribes took all this ostentation and privilege for granted. They would have asked any who challenged them if it was their fault that people envied them and were jealous. After all, it's the bad people, the evil people who don't want to be seen, isn't it? John's Gospel says that the ones who come to the light, the people who are happy to be seen, are the people who live by the truth. But you know, there's a flaw in that thinking. Not all evil is done in the dark. Some of it is done in the broad daylight with the object of attracting attention and notoriety. And although Jesus told us to let our light shine, it's also possible to do things just to impress others. And there's even worse to be said of the scribes. Jesus said that some of them were devouring the property of widows. Now, it's not entirely clear what that means, but certainly it would seem to involve action which was against the spirit of the Torah. Because the command of the law, the teaching of the prophets, was specifically that widows were to be taken care of and defended against harm and not exploited. Women who were widowed were the most vulnerable class of people in society. Along with orphans and aliens, they had very few rights, and therefore, in Jewish custom, they were to receive special care. But instead of providing care and support, these scribes and these teachers of the Torah were taking advantage of widows. Some authors believe that the scribes were asking for money to say prayers on behalf of the widows, prayers that were long and repetitive, offered for appearances only. But whatever the precise meaning of devouring widows' houses, it isn't easy to make excuses for the kind of conduct that it refers to. At worst, it was heartless exploitation. At the best, insensitive manipulation. In either case, it was being acquisitive and masquerading as piety, piety without pity. The behavior of the scribes offered shallowness and showiness and a lack of concern for the marginalized. It was an indication of how little they really offered themselves to God. Contrast that with the behavior of the widow. As a woman, she had no status anyway, and her husband's death had deprived her of the place that had been hers by marriage to him. That position of the widow is made very clear in the reading that we had from Ruth, where Boaz's claim to the land was after someone else's, and he said, well, yes, I'll have the land. And Boaz says, yes, but you have to have Ruth as well. The guy that's ahead of him was demurred at that and said, well, Boaz, you can have the land because, you know, I can't have another wife as well. Of course, if he'd taken Ruth as his wife, she would have, any children that she bore would have been the property of Ruth's father-in-law, Naomi's husband. It would have been his line that they were born to, because he had been the owner of Ruth. That's how widows were regarded. Well, this widow in our gospel may well have been a person of worth, struggling hard to make ends meet and not to be a burden to anyone, working her fingers to the bone to bring up her children decently. But, you know, she had no status. She was a nobody, and she was very poor. She came to the temple not expecting anyone to notice her, perhaps ashamed of the meagerness of what she had to offer. Quite possibly the only person who did notice her was Jesus. Although what she was doing was truly remarkable, she would have been more than happy to remain anonymous. That she should come and give it all is remarkable. It would have been very easy for someone in her situation to be bitter towards God and resentful of the rich people around her parading their wealth. But she wasn't bitter and she wasn't resentful. Rather, she was grateful and she was very generous in her giving. She took the risk of faith, the risk of giving to God all that she had. Today's gospel makes me feel very uncomfortable, because as I read it, I'm faced with the question, with whom do I most readily identify? The scribes living in comfort with respect and admiration of those around them? Or the widow, the person who risks all that she has in gratitude and faith in God? Again and again, Jesus turns our ideas of greatness and fulfillment upside down. Jesus judges people by what is in their hearts, not by the list of material achievements and honors they amass. If we are truthful, probably most of us, without too much difficulty, see ourselves in the portrait of the scribes which is painted here. Status is important to us in society and even in the church. We like to be noticed, at least in the sense that our efforts are recognized and our contribution appreciated. We are acquisitive and we often don't sufficiently care who might be harmed by our acquisitiveness. Because often if we're honest with ourselves, our attitude and our conduct can reflect more of the values of the world than the values of the kingdom. This morning's gospel challenges us to consider the level of our commitment to God as his people. The story of Jesus and the widow is a real-life parable. It's an illustration that in God's eyes, what is important is not how much we give, but how much we keep for ourselves. The people standing around in the temple court, including Jesus' own disciples, were impressed with the large amounts being contributed by the rich people who passed through. But as Jesus points out, these were people who gave out of what they had left over. Their contributions were made after they had looked after their own comforts and wishes. And I suspect many of us would have to identify our own giving to God's work as being made in the same spirit. But the widow gives all that she has. In terms of the world, what the widow does is actually very foolish. What is she to live on, having given all she has to the maintenance of the temple? However, her giving is not to be judged by the standards of the world. It is rather to be seen in the light of God's own giving, of God's self in Jesus Christ. This story occurs in the gospel during the last days of Jesus' life. The widow's giving of all that she has must be seen as a model of what Jesus himself was about to do. Our giving of ourselves, our commitment, must also be measured in consideration of God's love for us. God's love expressed in Jesus' giving up of himself to death on the cross. In gratitude for that love, for that gift, can we give to God any less than the poor widow did? Does not God's love for us call us to take the risk of faith, the risk of giving all we have, the risk of committing ourselves wholly to God? I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but in the baptism service in our 1995 prayer book, there's an extra question that is now asked as a part of the decision. The question is, do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust? And the answer is, I reject them all. In Christ, we are called upon to renounce the world's values, the endless quest for status and recognition and wealth, and to cultivate a sense of gratitude for what we have received. We are called upon to realize that whatever our circumstances, we are never too poor to give. We are called upon to respond generously to God's love, to seek his will for our lives, and to be open to his calling to us, whatever that may be. To indeed have the mind of Christ, who gave all he had that we might be made whole, restored in relationship with one another and with God. We are called upon to take the leap of faith in giving to God all that we are and all that we have, trusting that out of the poverty of our lives, God will do great things, and his kingdom will be brought nearer to fruition.